Today's December 6, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $43,958.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, you know, just having trouble finding my unmute button.
It's okay. I have problems finding the record button from time to time.
It's been known to happen.
It has been known to happen. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Obviously, the big topic that's on everybody's mind has been the recent rally in Bitcoin. We saw the price kind of, it's not parabolic yet, but we've seen the price rise pretty significantly over the past couple of days. We were starting out on Sunday, we were sitting at around 39,000. I put on Twitter that we were going to hit 40,000. I mean, it seemed obvious that day because typically going into the end of the week and during, especially when you've got bull type candles going on, you're going to see a rally into the end of the close for the week. So you get a green candle. And so I put, we were going to hit 40. I honestly thought that once we hit 40 and the markets opened on Monday morning, that we'd see a sell off or correction from that. But at least we would have, touched a new all time high for the year. And no, we just kept on going.
Yeah. Basically, I mean, from here on out, assuming it keeps going up, it's going to be the all time for the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, where do you think that's
69?
Yeah. Everything that keeps on printing at this point on, I mean, it's new all time highs for this year. I can't say new all time highs. It's new highs for this year. And we've got a lot of different things happening. We've got the halving is one of them. We've got the speculation on the ETFs. We've got one thing that we're probably going to dive a little bit more into, which is possible printer coming back on, which I don't know if it's ever really been turned off from the Fed, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, part of that was kind of interesting. I was sitting there and I don't know if we had talked about this on Sunday night or not. We may not have talked about it until Monday or Tuesday, but even gold was kind of going into strength over the weekend. You know, as Bitcoin was going up, gold was going up at the same time. And it corrected the way that I thought Bitcoin was going to, kind of wiped out the gains that it made, which, gold got up to about 2,100, on Sunday, and they kind of sold off on Monday, so it lost all those gains. But even it still kind of broke out of its pattern, which is, I think that's the highest gold has been.
Yeah, gold has not really fluctuated much. I mean, it's been, a year ago was 1950 or something like that.
Yeah, if I go back and I look at the one-year chart for gold, so it was at 1821 on January 3rd. 2023, if we go back, I don't know if I can go back any further.
Okay, so 18.
Yeah. If we go back 5 years, yeah, that was the new, that's the highest it's been over the past 5 years, was 2143, which we hit recently. And actually, that's the all-time high for gold. Actually, since they bought the ETF. So, yeah, I mean, gold had a pretty nice little breakout. The gains got erased, but I mean, it was kind of interesting to see that, and something we were going to talk about probably a little bit further into the podcast, because we have some other news to talk about too. But tell me, because we were kind of having an interesting discussion before we got going. What are you thinking? What are you seeing? Why this type of movement starting to happen?
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, you mentioned just the fact that the ETFs seem to be, one of them seems to be a go. I don't know. There's a lot of confidence that they're going to happen.
Yeah.
At least for BlackRock.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree with that. Now, the other thing is, I mean, you know, markets kind of move like animal spirits. Mm-hmm. But the sentiments around the markets right now is everyone is starting to think that whatever we've done with the interest rates, raising them, they're expecting the Federal Reserve to cut in the first quarter. Everyone's calling it now.
Yeah.
You know, Federal Reserve's going to cut rates in the first quarter, and they're going to turn on the printing press.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I look around at this economy. I've always said that this is our economy is a lot worse than what everyone's leading on. I mean, all the numbers coming from the government are basically pure gaslighting. But if once we realize that the economy is in a terrible shape, or, you know, something breaks in the system, interest rates are going to be cut. Printing press will be turned on. And you think inflation's bad now, just wait until that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's something to think about too. And I think we've touched on this in the past. You know, they may take stair steps raising the interest rates, but when they cut them, it's always drastic. So it's always that elevator down, right?
Right.
So you'll see a slash in interest rates when that happens. And I mean, we're seeing a few different things. Like there's murmurs in the housing market that they're actually expecting finally, which we've talked about in the beginning. I think it was really a lot more in the beginning of this year, how real estate was going to start collapsing. They're talking about a huge reduction in home prices, you know, going into 2024. I still don't know. Obviously, it's always funky to tell with stocks and those types of things, because those companies are so close to the printing presses when they turn on that their valuations just go through the roof. That's why you get that K recovery, like what we saw in 2020, whenever COVID kind of happened, right?
Yeah.
So you saw them drop through the floor, and then they were back in no time. And I don't understand how they were back, because businesses, like, nobody was able to do business or anything like that. But those stocks, I mean, and that's the biggest thing, is that kind of that whale mouth is right there at that printing press and can just absorb all that liquidity that comes out from the printing press.
Exactly.
So,
and it's the big companies that are connected to that benefit the most, where it's the mom and pops that got screwed over.
Right.
You know, they went in the upward K, and then the downward K was everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we saw hundreds of businesses, like mom and pop small businesses, that got kind of wiped out. And, you know, and unfortunately, all it does is make those big corporations just bigger and bigger and bigger. Their mouths get wider and wider and wider, and they're right there at the siphon, basically. Whereas, you know, people like the rest of us, I mean, any regular Joe or anybody else, like, they gave us, what, a $1,500 stimulus? Meanwhile, they were giving their friends as much money as they could handle.
Yep.
And, I mean, basically, it's 0% interest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of interesting to see where we're heading towards these events. And we kind of talked about this before the podcast got going, but the markets are always forward-looking. So, I mean, your investors know what's on the horizon in a lot of ways. They can see that kind of the writing on the wall. There's already the talk of the Fed is not going to raise interest rates at their meeting coming up here in 10 days, because I think they have another meeting in December 16th. We talked about this before, like, we weren't sure. Are they going to try and raise one more time? Obviously, we're going to wait for CPI numbers, which we should be getting this next week. But I guarantee they're going to say that inflation is down. I don't know if they're going to pull the 2% target. I don't know if we're going to see that come out in the CPI data. But, like, even looking at oil right now, oil sitting at $69.72 a barrel.
Yeah. Well, the thing about that, I mean, oil's at $69 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a conflict going on in the Middle East right now.
Yeah.
And oil prices are still that low.
Yeah. Well, and even OPEC instead, they were going to reduce production.
Yeah, they're cutting production. They've cut production, you know, I don't know how many times now. I'm telling you, the signs are showing that the economy is breaking.
Yeah. It's the complete opposite of what you'd expect, right? And, well, and I mean, for us around here, like, it's hard for us to judge some of that stuff because we haven't seen gas prices really come down here locally. We've seen it come down a little bit, but when you go, you know, up into Colorado, just a few miles north of us, they've got cheaper gas by almost 50 cents than what we're at.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
And Albuquerque's almost a dollar less than what we are.
Yeah. Stop reminding me, Hans Stan. It pisses me off.
it's just, it's so weird how, I don't know, how we get kind of messed up in that whole fiasco. Anyways, awesome to see. I'm excited to see Bitcoin at the price that it's at. I mean, because like I said, I was expecting a pullback on Monday. It didn't happen. I'm still expecting some sort of a retracement, and maybe it won't happen yet. Maybe we'll get up to like the $48,000 range, but we're definitely going to probably, well, obviously we made my target, I think, that I put back in January of what I thought Bitcoin price was going to be at the end of the year. I said between 40 to 45, I believe, and it looks like we're going to hit that. I don't know if we put that, did we put that in the chat, what our predictions were?
I don't remember.
Got to go back a little way.
I'm going to have to listen to a few episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. But anyways, we're already there at kind of the price level that I expected it to be at. But that's kind of what I would expect going into the bull market, because we're expecting the halving, all that stuff kind of coming up. Now, it's crazy because this is starting to get in the news cycle. So you see a lot of people are starting to buy in. And we have, did we talk about our investment that we did? We haven't talked about that yet, right?
I don't think we did.
Well, I mean, virtual investment, right? So back in, what was the date?
October 27th. Okay. We kind of threw out by $3,000 of Bitcoin, and basically Bitcoin at the time was $33,900.
Uh-huh.
And so that would be 0.0885 Bitcoins. But if at today's price, what did you say that was again?
Current price is $43,968.
$968. So that means we have basically $3,891.
$91. So, I mean, $891 for just sitting there. That's not too shabby.
Yep.
And we'll keep tabs on this and following this as this progresses to this bull market. So for those of you that have not been in a bull market before, usually they last about, you know, 12 to 18 months of continuous price movement. Now, that's not to say that the price is straight up. There are pullbacks that take place. I mean, you can expect up to 40% drawdowns at times. But it's still a pretty crazy time.
It is.
So real quick, touch on some of the news that we had, because we actually kind of meandered on some of that stuff there for a bit longer than what I thought we were going to. But BlackRock, apparently they've got some seed funding that went into their ETF for their spot Bitcoin ETF. It's $100,000 in seed capital. Not a whole lot, but it's a start, right? Like, they're getting something going on there. And something I was kind of curious about is, I wonder, you know, we talked about, you know, it's a flight to quality that Larry Fink had used when he was talking about Bitcoin. And, you know, we were talking about is that a marketing type ploy? You know, are we starting to see that kind of a marketing thing that is taking place? And I'm wondering right now if, like, they're talking to some of their investors and being like, hey, when this thing comes, and I don't know what the legality of that would be, but are they able to kind of do like a pre-sale? Start talking it up to their clients and be like, as soon as this is a go, are you going to be in? Like, you want to get into this? And maybe they would do it with some of their bigger clients, right, first.
Right.
Before they bring it to the pre-sale.
I mean, I don't know if it's legal. I mean, I don't think that bothers BlackRock. I don't think their consciences are bothered by much of anything. I think they could do that. And they could be selling this stuff. You know, we don't even know how much they've accumulated.
No, we don't know what's going on with that. There was something that was coming off of, I think, Riot Mining. And they've had somebody that's been buying 210 Bitcoin daily for like the past month directly from them over the counter.
Wow.
That's a lot of Bitcoin.
It's a lot of cash.
That is a lot of cash. It's almost like somebody's expecting to start selling it to a lot of people. And then the other news that we have is El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, he's caught a lot of criticism for what he's done in El Salvador for, you know, putting basically almost $200 million into Bitcoin. And his investment is now turned black. There's still a lot of naysayers out there that are saying that, you know, it's kind of a, what am I thinking of here? What's the word? Just like a stunt, a ploy. But I mean, they're in the black. They have a local economist that's saying that nobody uses the Bitcoin locally or anything like that. But I'd be kind of curious to see some of the credentials from that reporter, that or that economist. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, if I was in El Salvador, I don't know if I'd be using Bitcoin either.
Yeah. No, right. Yeah, I completely agree. I would be using the dollars.
Yeah, use the stuff that's going to lose value sooner than later.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah, I don't think we're quite to that price. When Bitcoin gets to where it's steady eddy like gold is, and it's not moving all the time, that's when you start using it, right?
Right. When you can predict what it's going to be worth.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of interesting to see, like, Nayib Bukele, he wants a lot of the hit pieces that were written about him, because we even talked about that whenever it was kind of going, whenever it was happening. The IMF kind of told him, you know, this isn't such a good idea for you and all this other stuff. And it seems like it's been paying off pretty well for him. I don't know specifics. I'm not local there. I can't say one way or the other, but I mean, just from what we're seeing, it seems like it's turned out pretty well for him. And then one of the last things I wanted to bring up. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to just say, I mean, it was not looking good for him for a while. Because when did they announce that? Like sometime last year?
When they started buying?
Yeah, when they announced that they were going to accept Bitcoin as a legal tender.
They started in 2020. So end of 2020, it may have been right around almost the peak of the bull market at that time. So they probably bought.
It was 2021.
Mm-mm. It was 2020 when they announced that.
Okay. Well, I mean, the peak of the market was like November 2021. But I mean, for the longest time, it did not look so great for them. But hey, they're doing great. And the other thing that people don't really talk about, his other radical plan was he basically built a mega prison and threw every MS-13 gang member in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not exactly good for liberty, but also having raving lunatics roaming your streets and terrorizing your local citizens isn't exactly great for liberty either.
No, and you were right on the El Salvador thing. It was September 7th, 2021. So it was because it would have been that November when we would have crossed that 69,000 mark or hit that 69,000 mark. Nice. And then they would have taken a bath.
Yeah.
Cause yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you were right on that. I thought it was 2020, but yeah, it was 2021. So yeah, he bought it, right? I mean, it wasn't quite at the peak yet, but he bought it right before he bought when everybody always like what the old adage of everybody, you know, he FOMO'd in at the top and now he's kind of just now back in the black. So
now he's folding the bag. Now he's doing okay. So he's going to do his touchdown dance.
Yeah. He said they have no plans of selling. So it's good. And, I don't know. I mean, I keep on hearing like El Salvador is this amazing place to go to now and all that other jazz, but still, I don't know. I mean, it's cool as long as you got a good hip president in place, but how long does that last once he's either replaced or whatever's going to happen? Something else that we didn't talk about on the podcast, and I meant to kind of last time too, was Argentina's new president. He's pro-Bitcoin. Yeah.
Yeah. He's super libertarian.
Yeah, he is. And maybe we did talk about that, because did we talk about his first order of business was he was going to close the local Federal Reserve there?
The central bank.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what he said, but he's not installed yet, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll kind of have to see how that plays out. And the other thing I think that we wanted to mention on the last episode that we did not was rest in peace, Charlie Munger, right?
R.I.P.
Yeah. They don't make him like him anymore.
Yeah. Go ahead. He was like a month away from turning 100.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep. Him and Betty White, this close.
So close.
No cigar.
So close. And then, of course, just because Bitcoin's had a great movement, we had Jamie Dimon in front of Congress today. Jamie Dimon is the CEO of JP Morgan Chase. And of course, he was spinning the old tale about cryptocurrency and how Bitcoin is just used by drug dealers and money launderers. And he was quoted as saying, you know, if he was in government, he would just shut it down.
Hey, you know, I take the words of a frequent flyer on the Lolita Express very personally.
Yeah. So, I mean,
trust me, I think if the government could have shut down Bitcoin, they would have already.
Yeah. Well, and I think the biggest thing is they've got nobody to go after.
Exactly.
That's the beautiful thing about Bitcoin. That's the only thing that separates Bitcoin from all the rest of the cryptos out there.
Yep, you can't chop off this head, the head of this snake, because it doesn't really have one.
No, it's the amorphous blob.
Yep, and you shut down one part of it, and it just reacts. Like, China shut down their mining in, 2020 or 2021?
Yeah.
It just shifted elsewhere.
Yeah.
New all-time highs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was, I think, what was it? Was it 3 or 4 months? And then all of a sudden it was back to almost what it was prior to China ban.
Yep.
Maybe it was 6 months. But even at that, like, it was amazing how quickly it recovered. Amazing. But, yeah, we just wanted to make sure and bring you guys an episode to kind of talk about, give our thoughts about what's been going on. We think, obviously, the markets are forward-thinking. They see what's kind of on the horizon from the Fed. It'll be kind of curious to see what the Fed minutes come out saying, you know, once we get CPI numbers and we hear they're going to pause again on interest rate hikes. Because I guarantee CPI numbers are going to come out lower than what they were before. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, let's just say that the BlackRock ETF does get approved, and maybe the other ones, but I'm really confident in BlackRock getting their approval.
Yeah.
What do you think the price is going to do then?
Hey, so if we keep on going at this clip, I could see us getting back to, or, you know, back to the all-time highs around the halving at this point. You know, we're looking at April, end of April. I think 100,000 is easily in the cards. I think we'd hit over 100,000 before the end of this next year. I mean, pie in the sky kind of numbers for me for the end of next year would be like 250.
You know, I usually tell you you're a little bit exuberant, but I think it's kind of crazy to say that right now, but with all the things just falling in place, BlackRock ETF, the halving coming up shortly, everyone expects the printing presses to be turned on again, mm-hmm. inflation to expand. I mean, it could go even higher.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, and I 120 would be like the conservative number for the end of next year. But I do think like maybe 250. I think maybe 250 by the end of next year.
You know, some of those crazy people calling for 500K. I mean, not saying they're going to be correct, but I mean, when they were saying that, you know, when I heard that back in October, I was like, I don't know about that. Now that I have a little bit more view of this horizon, I'm like, meh,
yeah,
maybe, I don't know.
It could. I mean, because at 500,000, I think at 500,000, we will eclipse the market cap of gold. When that happens.
Yes.
And I mean, even right now, it's in the top 10 of largest market capitalizations. It just eclipsed Berkshire Hathaway. So, yeah, we're not even at quite a $1 trillion valuation for the market cap yet, but we're getting pretty close. We're at like 885,000 or 885 million. I'm sorry, not thousand.
Or billion, do you mean?
Yeah, 885 billion. I'm sorry. I can't talk. I can't record. I can't do anything today.
Words, they escape me. Well, here's the deal. I mean, if the BlackRock ETF gets approved, here's something that could really happen is in a certain amount of time, like large institutions can actually have legit exposure to Bitcoin, not just exposure to Bitcoin, but actually have it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas none of them really have exposure to Bitcoin or have any Bitcoin. I mean, the most exposure that they would have is if they own let's say they own some stock in MicroStrategy, or, you know, they own some bit of a little bit of Coinbase or something like that.
Right.
If institutions start jumping in and trying to get, you know, get that quote unquote flight to quality, it could go gangbusters.
It could. I mean, and you got to remember 70% of the Bitcoin out there currently has not moved in over a year. And that's the other thing too, like something to think about is that this movement that we've seen, you know, this rise, it's because the pool is so shallow. It's not because there was that much money that actually came into the market, but you've got the bull market multiplier that's in place, where because there's so much fewer Bitcoin on the market to be able to be purchased, it pumps up the price faster.
Yep. And that could be part of it too. Maybe BlackRock is, when they're purchasing it, there's not as much to go around to all the exchanges.
Yeah, there's not enough for every, there's not enough for every millionaire to have one. And that could become a status symbol form. But I've got 10 Bitcoin. How much you got, you know?
Well, at a certain point, individuals are going to be like, I have 0.1 Bitcoin, or even 0.0885 Bitcoin, you know?
Yeah, at that point, they'll probably just be like, yeah, I got like 800 million Satoshis. What? You know?
Exactly.
But I don't know, man. It's pretty crazy out there. It's nuts. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out.
Same here.
Not financial advice, but maybe you should own a little bit.
Maybe.
Just a little bit.
Yep. I don't know. We need to do something on the cycles of Bitcoin and just kind of talk about, you know, what we're looking at previously, and if we extrapolate what happened back in the day, what could happen in the future?
Yeah.
Well, obviously past performance is not, you know, it's not a guarantee of future performance, but.
So I do want to close with this question to you real quick. Do you think we'll see a blow off top again, and then an 80% retracement like we've seen in the past?
That's kind of hard to say. Right now, I would say no, but, you know, we live through, I mean, the most recent bear market is the worst bear market.
Yeah.
At least from no bear market before has gone below its previous high.
Right. Yeah.
So the one before it kind of hit at 19, almost 20,000, 19.8, was that what it was?
Yeah.
And then it went all the way up to 70 or 69.
Nice.
And it crashed down to 15.
Yeah. It went below that,
it went
that,
below that
threshold, which, I mean, we hadn't seen that happen before. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of curious. But, I mean, you know, looking back on some of that, too, I wonder how much of that was FTX's manipulation.
Well, FTX definitely didn't help the case out. Celsius...
Mm-hmm.
Same thing there. It's kind of hard to tell. That's the thing. It just needs to gain enough mass. Once it becomes, has the mass, then you can't move it.
Right.
Newton's law.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, and that's, it goes back to, we've talked about supply shock before. Like when that supply shock really kicks in and there isn't Bitcoin on the market to really be purchased, and at least not in any substantial quantities. That's where I'm just like, I mean, that's where sky's the limit, man. I have no idea what that would do.
Yeah, I believe we'll get there if institutional investment.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think this could really blow the doors off of that.
Agreed.
But anyways, Keep an eye out, where we will be bringing you some more information. We've got newsletters coming. We've got if you do have Bitcoin currently or any cryptos, you can take a look at our affiliate links on our website, and you can get yourself a deal on a Ledger or an Elipal, and actually, you know, take self custody of your crypto. But we also have some things that we're going to be working on that hopefully we can bring you with the newsletter, that you'll get like a checkoff sheet maybe. Maybe for those of you that are new, trying to do your own self-custody, just kind of a checkoff sheet that you can walk yourself through to be able to figure out how it works. But yeah, was there anything else you wanted to bring up, Rick?
I think that's it for now.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to y'all soon.
Yeah.